Good morning. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest today will be Glenn Hatchell, returning for the 15th, mind you, 15th installment of Ask the Trainer. That means, as of this morning, we're approaching 15 instances over the years, inviting listeners to call in with questions for Glenn about their dogs or cats' behavior. Questions about other animals are always welcome, too. If you've heard previous editions of Ask the Trainer, which we aim to present every 2 or 3 months at this point, you'll recall that Glenn served as the Behavior and Enrichment Manager of the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. He's retired from that position. He's also a certified professional dog trainer, a veteran accomplished dog trainer and behaviorist, as well as a former WMNF programmer. During these Ask the Trainer shows, Glenn fields several calls and emails seeking to answer listener questions about their animal's behavior and or provide guidance or training on how to otherwise address that particular issue. So this morning, we again invite listeners to call in 813-239-9663 with questions for Glenn, or the questions can be submitted by email at dj@wmnf.org or via text 813-433-0885. Incidentally, we've learned that the phone calls generally tend to be the most effective way because they enable Glenn to ask the caller follow-up questions and kind of more precisely assess the issue they're calling about, and Glenn a better chance to calibrate a recommended solution. Still, for listeners unable to call or who just prefer to write in, we will also incorporate questions submitted by email, again, dj@wmnf.org, or via text, 813-433-0885. And when you call, just let it ring. We'll pick it up. We won't necessarily hear somebody answer. And if you are on hold, you might be on hold for a few minutes, especially if Glenn's helping another caller on a different line. So just hang tight, let it ring, and we look forward to hearing from you again. 813-433-0885 for text, 813-239-9663 for a phone call, or email dj@wmf.org to pose your question. So, Glenn, one of the things I liked when we first started doing this, you were still working that job and you had a lot of demands and you weren't really able to get out of the office to come over to the studio. So we had to do it by phone, which is fine. It worked out great. But in recent sessions, we've done this in person, in studio. And one of the things I like about that is that I get to see you. And of course, it's just generally better. But also, there's eye contact. It's like a regular conversation. So I think you have some thoughts about eye contact that pertain to the dog or animal world that might tie into this a little bit.
First of all,
good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Duncan.
It's always better to have the microphone on.
There we go.
Yeah.
I can be heard a little bit better. I like this tune that's in the background.
Oh, good.
What
yeah.
is this?
It's Brad Mildow and Pat Metheny.
That has sounded good. It's got a lot of variation to it. So one thing I've noticed starting off with animals to begin with, when I was in here on a weekly basis, the butterflies were much calmer than they are when I'm in here every 2 or 3 months.
Oh yeah.
So, yes. So I found that interesting.
Yeah.
So
can you say more about that? That's really interesting.
No, it's just coming on the air and wanting to do the right thing and not mess up. And I think a lot of us have had or still have the DJ dream of having that dream that you're about to go on the air, but you're not in the studio or nothing's ready.
The record's about to end, the song's about
to end. I still have that dream on a regular basis.
And yeah, that's embedded deeply in if you've done any DJing for any kind of while on the air.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, but it is good to be back for number 15, which is pretty amazing.
It is, yeah.
But that's one of the reasons why we started with the hope that we would still be doing this years later, and here we are.
Yeah, that's great.
So yeah, over the 15 times that we've had different discussions, I've talked about getting your dog's attention. You want to get your dog's attention because if they're looking at you, they're thinking about you. So that was one of the things that kind of prompted your talking about our eye contact, because we do have better, we're more comfortable in our flow with each other when we're looking at each other.
Sure.
Now, if we're listening to it, we may not notice a difference, but we, you know, that's one of the things that calm the butterflies, you know, because if something happens, we can kind of see what's happened. Of course, nothing ever does. So if I'm working with a dog for the first time, so we can also now project this onto someone who has a new dog, whether it's a puppy or an adult that they've gotten.
Yeah.
One of the first things I always encourage and want to get them to do is eye contact, regular eye contact. And that usually begins by, you know, being all excited. The dog looks at you and you give them a treat, you know.
Yeah.
Even if you were going to visit a shelter and we're walking through and seeing the dogs, that's one of the reasons why you're given treats going before in there. Before you go in there, you know, usually treats are available because that way the dogs are going to be excited. You're going to be excited. But what's happening there is eye contact and the dog's looking at you, waiting to see what's going to happen next. Now, that, so if we step from that and thinking about a brand new dog and we're want to teach their name, or we're even going to say their name at that point. If the dog knows its name and you say it, chances are the dog's going to look at you. So, and going again, looking at you, you get that eye contact.
There you go.
And so if you, and the same happens with us. If you were walking in the hallway and somebody said, "Hey, Duncan," you're going to turn around and look,
you know? You'd hope so.
That's right. Now, sometimes that person engages in conversation. So let's think of that being you're providing a treat. But let's say that somebody says, "Hey, Duncan," you turn around and look at them, and they just kind of look at you like they're just standing there looking at you like it was just observation, nothing to it. Like, so often people will do that. They'll say their dog's name and not really, I'll say, reward or reinforce or give the dog a reason to look. But more often than not, I think it happens with eye contact, is that you'll see your dog looking at you and you just look at him and look away, you know, which we have a tendency as humans to do that. You look at somebody, you make eye contact, and you just continue.
Nothing else is going on at that moment.
Yeah, and you just think about that. But with dogs, I think it's really important that anytime you see that eye contact, acknowledge it in some way.
Necessarily with a treat, or
not necessarily with a treat. Now, and I'm going to kind of progress on that discussion there. At the very, very beginning, if I was working with a dog in a shelter, one that is a brand new dog for someone, that is exactly what I would have them doing, is that when the dog makes that eye contact, reward them with something that's really positive for the dog. Usually we start with food because that's just the basic, you know, that's...
Works well.
Yeah. I mean, that's the lowest level
universal
that we can get
language.
To. Yeah, exactly. It's an unconditioned stimulus. They respond to it without knowing anything about it. But that also gives them the thought of, oh, wait a minute, you're going to, if I look
good things
at
happen.
Yes, if I look at you, good things happen. Now, something like eye contact happens constantly. So we would want to remove food as a, oh, if you look at me, I'm going to give you a treat. We want to remove that frequently because we want, you want your dog to learn that, oh, if I look at you, again, something good's going to happen. One of the reasons for going that route is, I'm sorry, that's, so let's say that you're just walking through the house, dog's on the couch or wherever your dog likes to hang out and such, and all of a sudden you just notice your dog's looking at you walking by. Those are perfect opportunities. Just say, "Good girl, Sonny," you know, or something that's going to acknowledge.
Connect.
Yeah. Just like I was using the example of somebody said, "Hey, Duncan," in the hallway, and you turned around and they didn't do anything. You know, you wouldn't think anything about it. Or,
You think it was odd, maybe, but...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or if you were here in the studio, you see somebody walking by the mirror, the thing that most people, I believe, here at WMF do, if they make that eye contact, they smile at each other.
Right.
You know,
and or wave.
Wave. Something, some kind
some
of acknowledgement.
Right,
exactly. And that's all we're talking about here, is that a basic acknowledgement to your dog of, "Good boy, how you doing? What you're looking for?"
Yeah.
You know, just something that keeps them engaged with you. Almost that thought of, what's next? you know, waiting for you to, are we going to go for, you know, you just looked at me and said something that got me a little excited. Are we going to go for a walk and we're going to do this?
Yeah,
you
know, what does this mean?
Yeah, what's going on? And then there may not be anything happening next, but your dog just got there excited. You said hi, and she lays back down and maybe goes back to sleep or continues to watch what you're doing.
Yeah, at the very least, it sounds like you're forging more of a connection just by the very act of making an eye contact or having some kind of interaction.
Exactly. When so many, or often I'll talk about teaching your dog to sit because that gives, they're doing something. If they're sitting, they're not jumping on you. So that's kind of a something they can be doing that's completely counter to another behavior, for example. But a dog that's sitting is, I mean, that's a very, I mean, it's an action skill. You know, mm-hmm. they're moving, they're sitting down. It's very easy for us to see and observe. But something like eye contact, if you think about it, is just, I mean, just like it is, I like to think of it like it is with another, if you have eye contact with another human.
Yeah.
Except that, you know, the dog usually is more receptive for it and more eye contact and stuff, to where, you know, typically even our partners, it might freak them out after, you know, sitting for 2 minutes.
Okay, what do you need?
Oh, exactly.
What's up, pal?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The dogs are different, though, because it's like, ooh, what are we going to do next?
Yeah,
what are
they really relish that kind of contact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I always encourage everybody to be excited with the dogs, you know, especially your dog. And if they kind of, especially if they don't respond to you very much, you don't have to go with treats. Well, let's say you're starting brand new, dog responds to them. Let's not worry about, well, what if they don't respond to this? Because anything the dog likes can be a reward. So in this example, I've just been talking about, you know, happy talk, for example.
Sure.
We talked, you brought up using a treat in that point. As things progress, it could be tossing a ball. You know, so often we use that in a reward situation like that.
Something they like, something they respond to.
Yes, yes, generally as the reinforcement. Now, if we think about eye contact, though, that is usually, even if we're talking about coming when called, recall, if a dog is away from us, still when they're coming to us, they're going to be looking for us. And assuming that they can see us from that point, they're going to be looking at us immediately. So, again, it comes back to that focus on you as, you know, the human for that dog, keeping that eye contact.
Cool. That makes a lot of sense. So maybe we'll come back to some other offshoots of that, but let's just let the folks know that might have tuned in a bit late. This is Ask the trainer being Glenn Hatchell on Talking Animals on WNF. If you have a question about your dog or your cat's behavior or maybe a training issue, Glenn is welcoming those questions right now at 813-239-9663, emailing dj at WNF.org, or texting 813-433-0885. And so let's put our first caller on with Glenn. Hi, you're on Talking Animals, Ask the Trainer with Glenn Hatchell.
Hey, I'm Cindy. How you doing today?
Hey, Cindy.
Good, how are you?
I'm always good.
Nice. Did you have a question or...
So I am one, because I knew you were Duncan, but anyway. Yeah, I got a question. I got this Malinois at 11 months old, so he's older. Now, some people, he likes fairly good, but other people... he's not good with, and he's actually sniffed at a couple of them. He hasn't bitten them. He's gotten the blood, but he's not biting, you know? He's kind of sniffing at them. So I was wondering if there was anything I could do.
Well,
and he's 2.5 now.
All right. Well, right off the bat, with the fact that he's already drawn blood, things elevated at a completely different level at that point. I would make sure from a veterinary aspect that there's been full, complete blood work to make sure that there's no hidden medical conditions that blood work may turn up. In some cases, that can be. I would look at the nutrition, because they're actually depending if, and this again gets into very minor little things, but these, I mean, not minor, but very small little things like nutrition, but all of it kind of adds in together. But then I would also, what area do you live?
I live in Palm Harbor, Florida.
Okay. I would check the same websites I always recommend and get a certified trainer, probably an IAABC, and Duncan will have this information later, but IAABC.org. And I would go for one of the certified behavior consultants that are listed there, and I think there may be one actually up near your area. I could be wrong on that, but and the thing is, there's usually when a dog bites, it's not out of the blue. There's usually a lot of things that have led up to it, and that's part of why. That's what I suggest, and I assume that's. Who we're hearing in the background?
No, that's not my dog. I'm walking a couple dogs right now to the neighbor's dog. So, you hear different things as I'm walking.
Yeah,
for sure.
Actually, it's a great bark. That dog has a great bark. I liked it. That was good. That was a good bark.
I always like a dog to bark at anything going by, you know what I mean?
And that's what we want. We want a dog to recognize that barking's okay, but there's also that bit of, okay, that's enough. You know,
correct.
And
I know that.
Yeah. And there's a lot, you know, it could be the other people. It could be their movement. But that's why there can be so many letterers, and the fact that he has drawn blood, that is considered a bite. So,
okay.
You know, I mean, if it's from nails, that's a whole different aspect.
I think it's
a
nip, you know, not like a bite.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I know.
His mouth all over the person.
Yep. Oh, I understand exactly what you mean. Yep. Yep. So,
all right.
That's what I would recommend, Cindy. Sorry you're dealing with it.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. So let's continue again. This is Ask the Trainer with Glenn Hatchell on Talking Animals on WMNF. And on a somewhat related note, an email has come in that says, how to keep a dog from nipping when it's excited.
That's what we have?
That's the email question.
Let's see. So there's a couple of things through this. The two things that come to mind immediately are getting him to sit, and being very regular with the sit, because that way he can't, I'll say, lunge forward. Lunge is not, give me a better word than that. Scoot forward, jump forward. At that point, now that does involve some relaxation or some ability to be able to sit and hold it, depending on how excited he is, he or she. So that is one behavior where we've got them in a position. The other thing is that we want to change the reaction. Well, assuming nipping, I'm going to assume it's mostly towards the hands. So if they're sitting, they're not jumping, and the person is able to keep their hands away. What we would want to start with is something like hand target touch, to where the dog puts his nose in the palm of your hand, and when she does that, she gets a treat for it. This is actually one of the puppy protocols used regularly at a lot of places, including the ASPCA. I actually did this recently at one of their facilities where we're working with puppies, and hand targeting touch was part of it to begin with, again, because puppies are learning how to use their mouth, and what we're beginning that progress there, or those, you know what I mean, is getting them to put the mouth, their snout, to your hand without wanting to open it and go for it.
Right.
So only when they get the nose touch
so no
in
nipping.
The palm. Correct.
So no nipping
well,
zone.
No reward if they nip.
I see.
That's what
it
we're
might
shooting
be nipping,
for.
But then you're not going to get.
But they're the, not going to get anything for it, right?
Yeah.
They don't get. Then you kind of back away, and it's like, okay, got to start over again. Then they come back in with a tap.
So that, that technique might help our emailer then. In terms of discouraging.
It's one of the ways to approach.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we've got one sentence there, so I'll just take it in the easy, or not easy, but assuming that it is jumping at the hands and kind of the arm.
Right. And if not, or if there's more to say, feel free to write back or call in and we can elaborate.
The other possibility there, if the dog really likes to play fetch, is that before he starts nipping and really before he's actually moved into the person's space, is toss a ball, for example, for her to chase after. So if that excitement is, in that case, it's like if it's excited, ooh, I want to do something. By tossing a ball, we're giving the dog something else to do other than jump at the person. So that's kind of the thought process there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool. All right, let's take another for our callers here. Hi, you're on Talking Animals, Ask the Trainer with Clint Hatchell.
Hey, yes, thanks for answering. I was wondering, I have a one-year-old male Chihuahua, and I was wanting to get him a playmate for the rest of his life. I was just wondering if you had any suggestions about how I should go about doing that. Like, I was thinking about going to a shelter, but, like, do you take your dog in, or, like, what's the best route for getting him a playmate that'll be, like, a happy, healthy situation?
Oh, I love this question. And I love the fact that you're doing this and looking at this. Every shelter has different policies on that. At the Humane, I haven't been there for a year and a half. I know in some will have where you'll come and visit the dogs first, and if there's a couple of them you'll want to meet, you'll plan basically to bring your dog back.
That's one way. Okay.
And another, though, it's like go ahead and bring your dog with you, assuming that they can hold your dog while you're looking at the dogs that are there. That's kind of part of the, because they probably wouldn't let your dog walk back into the kennel area. But then some of the other, I'll say foster rescues, for a lack of a better word, will... That may be a good way to go because the potential dog is already, you know, living in a home environment and may or may not already be living with other dogs. That would...
Do you think that's the best situation, is to make sure the dog has gotten along with other dogs? Like, my dog's very social, and, like, he's an incredibly social dog, surprisingly, for Chihuahua, and he, like... People say, oh, my dog doesn't like dogs, and they end up liking him. So he's very likable.
Yeah. Well, you know, okay, so right off the bat, that's a very positive thing. And you could call your nearest shelter and say, here's what I've got. And he's very good, and I'm looking for a playmate. In some cases, like the high-volume shelter, like the, you know, Pet Resource Center and Humane Societies and SPCA of Tampa Bay, they may not be able to give you specifics, but one that's a little bit smaller inventory, they may know right off the bat.
Okay, so you trust the people that you speak to at, like, the actual rest, like the shelters, to know the dog, kind of.
Well, you would absolutely want to make sure that your dog has met the other dog. So you'd want to do that. Again, I'm not going to get into policy discussions, but if I had my own rescue, I can think of a way as I would do it. But
I feel like the signs would be actually. Thank you so much for this, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
What physical signs should I look out for, like with the ears and tail, like upon their first meeting, to see, like, if I don't know if dogs click, but, like, you know, that'd be awesome if there was a sign that I could see. That would make me know, oh, this is who he likes or something.
And I like to think of that. Do they start re-engaging? So if you think about it, for the first few minutes, they're together, and I'm just going to say few rather than putting a number on it. They're still kind of checking each other out and such, most likely. But uh-huh. then what you'll hope is that one of them will throw a play bow, which is the chest down and the butt up in the air.
So cool. Okay.
And then what I always look for is, do they engage with each other and start playing? And then let's say one of them starts running away from the other one, and there's a little bit of chase, but then they turn around and the other one starts chasing the other. That going back and forth, those are the kind of things that just show that they're like almost automatically in sync.
Awesome. And so no physical contact, though. I mean, I wouldn't want that anyway. But, like, so it'll just be like a... It's a very friendly. Okay, cool. Thank you. Sorry, I'm thinking it through in my head.
Well, that That's ideally, awesome. What you're thinking through your head is the ideal scenario.
Yeah. So, let's hope. And fingers crossed.
I think that would take like five. Like how much time do you think that would take? Like within 5 minutes of the meeting, or like how long should I spend with?
You're gonna honestly. I think probably within 10 to 20 minutes, you're going to know.
Okay.
And with some, it may, with some, if it, you figure if it takes longer, that's probably not a mix. I mean, probably not a match. Yeah. That's awesome. Kind of the way that I'm thinking about it. And obviously, if it's an immediate match or immediately not, that'll probably be pretty obvious as well.
Yeah. Wonderful. All right. We got to keep moving, but thanks so much for your call. Good luck making your dog a new friend. It sounds like you're together the right mission in mind.
Okay. I love that question.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Well, some callers came and went, and you always can come back if you'd like. This is, again, Ask the Trainer with Glenn Hatchell on Talking Animals on WMNF. If you have a question like the ones our callers and emailers have posed already about your dog or cat's behavior or finding a match or some training issue, whatever, Glenn is welcoming those questions right now. 813-239-9663. Email dj at wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. All right, let's maybe try another one here. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Glenn Hatchell as a trainer on WMNF.
Oh, hi, Duncan.
Hi.
I had a question. I think my question's answered already. I was just wondering what the premise of your guest was. Is it just to address behaviors and how to deal with them? And one in particular, I think that's the case, right? You weren't just talking about one problem.
No, it's wide open for people to call in or email or text. We do this every two or three months.
Here's my comment.
Go ahead.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I think you're hearing another voice. It's not mine, unless it's a delay. I think you're hearing the call filtering back. Okay. Maybe you could turn that down. But
I did.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the comment. Now, I've been on the phone when I play games. There are apps, you know, commercials that come on for dog apps that say teach your dog not to bark in like 3 days. You know, like that's a bad behavior. And your guest was saying, and I believe it also, that the dog should let you know when something's happening. Somebody's walking by, the FedEx truck is coming down your driveway, somebody's at your door, whatever it is, the cat wanting to come in the door, that's what my dog does, tells me one of my cats is there. I think that's a good thing. I don't think you need to tell your dog not to bark all the time and just be obedient and stand there and do nothing.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. That's a normal dog behavior. I mean, it's a normal dog behavior. Now, obviously, you know, we want our dogs to also have good behavior. So there's greeting skills, you know, that will, you know, that's a part of teaching a dog. But, you know, the great thing, most dogs are so social, you know, and sometimes.
I got that point, and I need to hang up and go somewhere. However, my cockapoo is 5 years old, but acts like a puppy, and he's constantly wanting to, he likes to stand up and walk, like poodles sometimes do, and comes to anybody, like in a grocery store, anybody that acknowledges him, he wants to go to them. He's as friendly as any dog could be, and wants to hug you around your waist. And some people like it, some people don't.
Correct.
Is that a bad behavior that needs to be addressed? And came down in some way, but it's not a bad behavior because children, any child can go up to my dog and he will not bite them or anything.
I'm assuming that she's on leash or he's on leash?
Yes.
Okay. Well, for those who don't like it, since you've got him on a leash, you can keep him from getting close enough to those people to be able to do it.
Okay, I know that. But is it bad for the dog to start to do that? To, like, I'm looking at a shelf, and all of a sudden somebody's passing by, and most people will say, hey, doggy, and let them hug them, and the tail is wagging, and he's in heaven. You know, rub his belly, whatever.
Yep.
But is that a bad behavior in itself, where you just kind of like pull him back and say, not this person, another person maybe?
That's one that's a challenge because, like you said, you're standing there, people are walking right by, and some people are going to walk by just to see what your dog's going to do. And then they're going to, sorry, I didn't mean to go that way with it, but they are going to walk.
Some people walk away. Also,
yeah, so. Exactly. Some are going to walk. Yeah.
They back away, and I know they don't like dogs for some reason.
Exactly. And when there's space and somebody doesn't like dogs and they walk right by, it just, that's well, one to where I would just, like you said, I would grab the leash, pull back and look at the person and say, oh, sorry.
Of course.
Yeah, sorry. Course. I didn't realize you were going to walk so close.
Right.
A very nice way to handle it, right? Yeah.
I think there's a term for that, but I can't.
Yeah. Diplomacy.
Okay. Well, the minute I see a dog, because the leash is always near my hand, it's probably tied to the, like in a grocery store in Walmart, they let you take the dog. He's tied to the cart. So that he doesn't pull me everywhere also.
Right, right.
Because he's constantly looking at the shelves and wanting to pee on the shelf, too.
Yep. So,
it's a pain in the neck.
So, but to think about your question, no, personally, I don't think it's a bad behavior. Now, the person that got jumped on might think it's a bad behavior, but I think it's more of a greeting behavior for him. And obviously, he loves people, it sounds like. But just to kind of play this in a different area, if there's a dog, for example, that likes to jump and give hugs, and let's say the owner is okay with it, but the dog has no control about it. If the dog meets you, he wants to jump up and give hugs. In that case, what we'll do is put it on a cue or a command, but we're not commanding the dog to do anything. We're telling him a word, and it's like, ooh, do this. So what we do is teach him jump, kind of slap our palms on our hips to have him jump up at that point. Because teaching that cue, then he learns that that's when he gets to do it, not just anytime he wants.
Okay, so on myself, I slap my thigh.
Yeah, well, the challenge, but the,
because the other person wouldn't know to do that.
Exactly, that's the challenge
that's
you
the
have
key.
There. So.
Yeah.
That's why I think the best thing is to probably that's one alternative to go with. I think the best thing, since you've got him on leash and he loves people, I'm guessing that probably 18 or 19 out of 20 people that walk by have some sort of a smile when they look at him.
Of course.
Yep.
One other comment, and I'll let you go to somebody else as maybe a more pressing question. Most of the people, greet him first.
Yes, that's great.
Attention first.
Yep.
Before he goes to them. A lot of people love dogs, and before they know it, I have to tell them, look, I don't have time for you to play with him. I need to go. it's not a win-win situation.
But in that case, you know, those are not the people you need to worry about. Those are dog people. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thanks so much for your call and all your good questions, and good luck.
Okay. Thanks, Duncan.
Thank you very much. Thanks again. Hi. You're on Talking Animals on Ask the Trainer with Glenn Hatch. You've been holding a long, long time. Thanks for your patience.
No problem. Thanks for taking my call. I'm sure I'm not the only one with it. Oh, I wish I had that caller's problem. But there's a sweet dog that jumps on people. But I do have a sweet dog. I adopted a dog that was walking for his owner who was ill, and noticed one day some workers came through they asked if they could cut through the yard, basically, and he was just sitting there calmly, and then he went after one of them and nipped him bit him on the backside, and I apologized and said, look, I'm sorry for my dog, I thought it would be okay, I didn't didn't realize. So that was a few years ago. The owner died, and I ended up taking the dog because he was pretty attached to me at that point because I'd been walking it for like 6 months, and nothing happened since then. Oh, but the guys came back the next day. The workers came back, and I said, "How's your friend?" And they said, "He was not our friend." That was his first day, and he stole all the tools out of the truck. So I thought, oh, that's interesting. The dog, like, bit the one out of six guys that was up to something. So I kind of thought that was not so bad. Well, then I was out of town, and he bit the mailman. He got out and bit the mailman here in Tampa. And that's obviously not good. I wasn't here. I didn't see it. The neighbor called me. Did first aid, and it blew over. I left some gift cards and said I was out of town. And then about 6 months later, I was dropping off something at a friend's house. Set him in the office. Sit down. He was very obedient. Sit down. Knocked on the door. Handed them a package, and the mailman just happened to walk up, and the dog went after the mailman. The mailman was backing up and holding up packages or whatever to keep the dog from biting him. So now, that's clearly a bad behavioral thing, but would you like to address what you think I should do? So in 3 years, I've had those three incidents.
When was the most recent, roughly?
It was about two months ago.
Okay. And these are the only incidents. Other than that, everything else has been okay.
Everything else, everything else. He'll be very suspicious if a worker comes in or a new gardener or whatever. But he won't go after them. He'll put his back up a little and kind of look at him suspiciously, but he. I say it's okay. He's here. He's here to help. He's here, and he's fine with whoever. So it's never happened in my absolute presence. The first time I was sitting there, and he ran over. So that's not true. But with the mailman, I wasn't actually there.
So this really falls into a behavioral aspect much more, and I could do some speculations, but it's kind of the generic answer I'm going to say is that I would have your vet do a full blood work checkout and make sure there's nothing off. One of the things that's challenging about this is that it is only four times over that period of time. So it's actually, it's not a very... Yes. I mean, it recurs, but it's not something that you've got to worry about daily necessarily.
Right. Three times over 4 years.
Okay, three over 4 years. Well, thinking from a management aspect, I guess there's two ways. Thinking of a management aspect, if there's anyone coming over or the door's going to be open, I'd make sure I have him on the leash, especially if you think the mailman's going to be coming around. And who knows? I mean, there are... there could be something... from the past that he got conditioned to, and I'm not saying it's the male person, but maybe they were maybe it was the bag, maybe it was a hat, maybe it was any number of things it could have been, or it could have been the speed they were moving, maybe moved quickly, or again, like you said, moved back, and the dog could have interpreted that. So yeah, you could explore with a behaviorist. My feeling from a trainer aspect is that I don't know that the things I could offer for you would be a whole lot more than what we just did right there, but every dog needs some training. But it's the infrequency of the occurrence that leaves a lot of questions unanswered that... That's why I would think go the medical route to begin with and just rule any of that out.
Well, he had his blood work done recently and came back clear, but I didn't do it for that. I didn't I didn't know that that was something they check for. I can check with the vet and see if they would have exposed that. But
have you, is you the,
know, both of these
is the vet aware of the three instances?
No, I did not.
Okay, all right.
I actually did mention it because they're like, "How's he doing?"
Okay.
And I told her, but it didn't seem like they were checking for that.
So, and I don't necessarily think there's anything that's going to indicate that, but I think it's more of making sure that there's nothing out of whack. You know, for example, if there's an infection, it's going to throw one type of something much higher than another. And it's more of those kind of things of just trying to identify potentially an underlying medical issue. But I think the odds of that happening this is so slim because it's not happening regularly. So that's why there is something that's triggered. And there may be a lot of factors into it, including you not being there at that moment. You know, I mean, that could... Go ahead.
Yeah. The second time it happened, it was the first time I'd ever left my two daughters while I went out of town. The older daughter, you know, was old enough to handle everything. So that was the first. So it was 3 years after the first one with the worker, and it just so happened I was out of town. I feel like he was just being extra defensive with the two girls here alone and the mailman. And both of these mailmen, they wear the wraparound shades and these hats. You can't see their faces very, very well. And
yep.
I think that might be part of it.
It could very well be. And really, it's almost thinking of all of these things stack on top of each other for the dog. So you're not there. So he's, like you said, maybe he's got this different feeling about the girls at that moment. There's this reflection that's coming at me from this big person that's out there that I don't know in the mailman. So it could very well be all of those things were happening at that moment.
Yeah.
And if we could look at all three of them, it may be something similar to that. Obviously, the guy in the backyard is a outlier from that, but he sounds like, well...
I just thought it was interesting that I tried to apologize, and they said, "No, we don't care." It was a thief, so
that's interesting. Yeah.
All right, thank you guys.
All right, absolutely. Thanks so much for your call. Good luck. All right, this is Ask the Trainer. The trainer again is Glenn Hatchell on Talking Animals on WNF. We're in our final 10 minutes or so of the show. If you have a question about your dog or cat's behavior, or maybe a training issue, Glenn is. Welcoming those questions right now, 813-239-9663, by email at dj@wnf.org, or via text 813-433-0885. And maybe I'll take a moment to give a little heads up about next week. My guest will be artist, photographer, writer Claire Rosen, who's just published Birds of a Feather, an elegant, really extraordinary photo book offering 120 portraits of birds, presented against historically inspired backdrops. And the piece of company media suggests, quote, "This interplay of subject and setting invites reflection on themes of beauty, domestication, and the human impulse to collect and classify the natural world," end quote. And it's rounded out by essays written both by Rosen and notable contributors. And might at first sound like a coffee table book, but it's has much grander ambitions than that and much grander virtues. So that'll be, I think, an interesting conversation next week. I'm talking with Claire Rosen discussing her remarkable new book, Birds of a Feather. So also, in case we run out of time, sometimes we get a big flurry at the last minute. So in case we run out of time, happy Thanksgiving and or thanks vegan to you and yours. And one of our emailers wrote in and said, "Unless it is a certified seeing eye dog or support dog, it does not belong in a grocery store. That is the law, and it is a good law." So Keith is weighing in with that. So I think we're caught up at the moment on emails. One of our early emails wrote back with a thumbs up for your response. So
Excellent.
That was great about the nipping. And so again, 813-239-9663. Email dj@wnf.org or text 813-433-0885. If you have a question or a comment for Glenn about dog or cat behavior, we don't have any cat action. So, in fact, that reminds me, one of our mutual friends had a question about a dog situation that I guess they've encountered. So they have a dog, and then next door, where there's a fence separating, there's a dog. And I guess when both dogs are out there, like up against the fence, there's like some kind of mayhem that breaks out, whatever. So they're wondering, like, what can be done to sort of mitigate that or minimize that?
One, you can't control the dog next door. So knowing that that's always going to be
an X factor no matter what. Right?
That's right. Always going to be a possibility that that dog's going to be out there. So their dog is always going to know that. Of course, I'm talking about at the very beginning here.
Yeah.
And I hope the cough button works over here.
I'm sorry, I didn't get on there fast enough.
Sorry for having just barked there in the, hopefully that sounded more like a bark. So that's one of the challenges you'll have is that your dog knows that dog's over there. So it's like every time they come out, they're going to be alerted to it. Just like if you walk your dog in the neighborhood, your dog probably knows where all the other dogs live just by the smells. But ideally, in this case, what we want to work on is coming with called recall. Because assuming that you're not going to be able to, that your dog's going to be up there and you want to get them back to you or get them away from the fence from
yeah.
them, that's going to be the ideal thing because you can just step out in the backyard, you know, Rusty, come, you know, and Rusty comes running back to
right.
you. That's in an ideal world. Obviously, it builds up to that. If it's one of the ways could be, well, another way that would be difficult as well is to try to teach your dog a boundary of not crossing. But I think it would be easier to teach recall in that case than the fact of, no, I know that that dog's over there, but you need to sit right here. That would be extremely difficult.
Yeah,
so that is
that's almost taunting.
Well, right? That's, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's definitely taunting. It's that, you know, it just never knows when that other dog's going to be out there. And it's such a high trigger for him because obviously we've, you know, based on what the behavior is, or was described, it's pretty intense. So
yeah.
When we think about, so I'm going to, that's where we're headed for. What I would do to begin with is start with him on leash, him or her on leash, when the other dog is out there and start working on recall. Well, that would be a progression before, you know, he's just out there and you stick your head out the door.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, hopefully that's helpful. So we have a quick couple. We're going to try to get one or two more calls in. We got some holding and we got an email question about cats. It's a little bit long, but I'll try to get blast through here. Is it still a thing to put cats on Prozac or some other psychiatric drug or maybe a sedative decline due to an incessant need to escape the house? Every door, every window is scratched, wood coming off meows that make his voice hoarse and eventually give in and start letting him out at night, which seemed to calm him but slowly, but now he just wants out constantly. The entire question or email.
Yes, there are behavior medications for cats, and there are some cat specialist veterinarians in the area who would be the ones to contact. But there's definitely some meds along that line that could possibly assist. It could be also, it's not just meds, but it could be enrichment. You know, if he's looking to get outside, he is looking to exhibit the cat behaviors. So it's not just meds. You would absolutely want to incorporate some other enrichment kinds of things as well.
Okay, that sounds like that's what we can offer at the moment. So let's try to at least do one more quick question. I may have to cut things short to do my wrap-up and other announcements, but let's try one more right now. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. It's Acid Trainer with Glenn Hatchell on WMNF.
Hi, this is Bill in Jacksonville. I want to talk dogs for a second. I've got a Great Dane Labrador mix. She's about 8 years old and weighs about 65 pounds. And I want to say, first and foremost, jumping up on people, whether you think it's a hug or it's humping, is absolutely unacceptable. And I know there are dogs of all sizes that like to do that, mine included. She's always done that to me and very few select other people. Initially as a pup, she would like to, but I would not allow that. Now she knows she does it very sparingly to anybody, but she's older. The other thing is the guy with the mailman biting dog is awful. Now, my dog Patience is a very unique exception because I lived on the streets. She, as a puppy, all her life had lived on the streets until recently. So she was exposed. She lives literally off the leash. She does go into grocery stores with me, and I do agree with that woman because most dogs are absolutely unfit to be in a grocery store, period.
Mm-hmm.
And my dog is a rare exception simply because she has always lived on my hip without a leash. And living on the streets and woods and everywhere without a leash. So I can't, she cannot be a judge by most animals. But yeah, I have to agree with the woman that dogs really have no place in a grocery store, even though I do bring my own. And I have to do it very sparingly. Now, she's been abducted on the streets before. She's been returned to me 3 times. So leaving her on a leash out front is not an option for me, if you know what I mean. So being homeless in that situation. But no, do not allow your dog to just go up onto people. I don't care if they encourage it or not. You say, no, that's not allowed. Simply don't allow it. If it's for yourself, that's one thing. And the mailman dog, my dog lays it right at my front door, right out in the yard without a leash. But I never really had to define the property now that we're in a property. She just instinctively knows, and she's never left the yard. Even when the neighbor dogs are out on a leash barking, she will not leave the yard until I go out and walk with her. And I have never had to teach her that. So anyway, those are just some comments, and I feel bad. That mailman issue is a serious, serious problem, and our mailmans know just from word of mouth, you know, and she's always been exposed. So it's, again, an exception. But, yeah, that's serious bad, and that needs to be addressed with that mailman biting dog. Anyway, I just want to
wrap Bill.
Up. I love the show.
Thanks for your comments.
WMNF.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much. Happy Thanksgiving. Okay, so we're going to, if we have a moment left at the end, we'll come back. But I want to let people know that coming up on WNF, it's The Conversation, the great show hosted by Mario Nunez and Joe King Carter. After that, it's The Scoop, WNF's brief news recap. Then we shift back to music programming with Sam Wall, holding forth from 1 to 3, followed by Nancy C, hosting the Wednesday Traffic Jam from 3 to 6, and just tons more great music. Beyond that, on 88.5 WMNF. Again, next week, I'll be speaking with the photographer, artist, writer, Claire Rosen. I mentioned about her book, Birds of a Feather. I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation. The book's certainly extraordinary, so I look forward to getting on with that. And that's next Wednesday, December 3rd, here on Talking Animals on WMNF. So I think I want to thank Glenn for coming in and all his great expertise and his response to the calls and emails. Anything you want to say? We've got a few seconds left, Glenn, as we wrap up.
I'll see you next year. Happy New Year.
Okay, likewise. Happy Thanksgiving and happy thanks vegan to everybody out there. And thanks again. And have a great holiday weekend. And we'll catch up with you next Wednesday here on Talking Animals here at 11 a.m. on WMNF. Stay tuned for NPR News headlines and then The Conversation and more great stuff after that here on WMNF. Thanks again.